And I am in need of a friend to stick close by my side. When there's no place to go to escape from the problems of life, you offer safety no one else could provide. Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy. Satisfy my every longing inside. Oh, you wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life. Times when nothing seems to go right, you've always been there to help me get through the night. Whatever I needed, you were right there to provide. My every longing inside. You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life. My every longing inside. You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Let's open the Word of God for a moment this beautiful Sunday. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Isn't God good? Sister Tanya, I'm so sorry you're having problems with that hand. We're going to keep on praying and... Yeah. Why don't you come up here before I bring the word? Let me have a special prayer for that. Again, not that prayers we've already prayed won't work, but let's just pray again. Is it this hand?
Yeah.
Would that hurt? Okay. Yeah, okay. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I just pray that whatever this problem is, it'll go away. In Jesus' name. Lord, you're the God who hears and answers prayer. You know what's wrong with it. And I'm just asking in Jesus' name to solve this problem. I give you praise.
Amen.
All right. Bless you. Hallelujah. Everybody say holiness.
Holiness.
It's something that's in the Word of God that we have to have in order to go to heaven, in order to see God and be at peace with God. Holiness is impossible. It's something that if we don't have, it's impossible to live for God without holiness. So it'd be good for us to have more understanding about what holiness is, wouldn't it? It's also one of the most controversial subjects on the face of the earth as far as in the Christian movement. And anytime there's something so important that it's a heaven or hell issue, you can count on it. There will be many teachings to distract and offset people from what is really there. So there is a true holiness, and there are many teachings that are false concerning holiness. So all of you out there who may be listening in, you've heard of the standards of holiness. And we understand what people are talking about when they say we have a standard of holiness. But I, through my own observation through years of being in the ministry and being raised by ministers, my conclusion at this point in my life is most people don't know what they're talking about. And they have a false concept of what holiness is all about, and they see it as something that it is not. And for some, to hear some people talk about it, it sounds like an abusive thing or some kind of a strong club to beat you over the head with. And it seems to all be about dress and hair and TV. And I'm going to tell you something before I even read my scriptures and comment this morning. TV, sleeves, clothes, hair has nothing to do with holiness. All right, don't turn me off. It has nothing to do with holiness. And if you turn me off now, you're going to go around lying about what the Word of God is all about, saying I don't believe in holiness. So go ahead, reprobate, turn me off, and I want to talk to the believers for the next few minutes. I'm going to the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Verse 17 in chapter 4 in Ephesians. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth, in other words from this point forward, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Everybody say true holiness. We're being instructed to get rid of the old nature and put on something that's new. Amen. Which is called here the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then there's an explanation here. If you can just receive it, this is very simple. This tells you what to look for to see that you have true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Everybody say, putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, you're mad at somebody, get it worked out so you're not mad anymore. Or at least get it worked out so that you can talk to God without feeling like you're in trouble. Neither give place to the devil. Now, all this has to do with true holiness, what I'm reading right now. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you're doing all of that, you have holiness. You may be seated. Now, as I mentioned, holiness has nothing to do. Let me say it like this. What you wear does not determine whether or not you're holy. Amen. But if you have true holiness, you will change. Amen. Things will change. And so people sometimes major on, it's like, you know, you take medicine for pain, but it doesn't fix the problem. You see what I'm saying? You can get something to make it feel better, but the problem is still there. And it doesn't matter how long the dress or the sleeves may be, we need to get rid of the problem. Because you can look the part and still not have it. But if you have it, you will look the part. And nobody has to force this down your throat. And if anybody has resentment toward holiness preaching, which may include clothes and hair and TV and movie theaters and a lot of things, if you have a problem when people address these things that are the result of people's lives having been changed, their lives have been changed where they're not like they used to be. The places they used to go to fulfill their worldly desires, they don't go there anymore because now their affections are set on things that are above this world. And they have an interest. We have an interest in the things of God and not the entertainment of Hollywood. Oh, we can be entertained by Hollywood, but it doesn't stop us from what we know to be above and beyond anything that Hollywood has to offer. I can sit down and watch a movie, no problem. But that is not my God, and I don't have to have it, and I can do without it. And if it ever becomes a stumbling block, it's going to get kicked out the door. Because my God is holy. And He requires absolute, absolute service to Him, obedience to Him, worship to Him. And there are some things in our lives that have to be changed. The way we think, our desires, and no preacher and no deacon board and no amount of rules in any rule book can cause a person to change. But one touch of God, one touch of God in the Spirit that is of God will renew your mind, change your heart, cause you to walk right, talk right, live right, dress right. And if you say, well, how is dress right? You may ask the question, so what is the right way of dress? Well, nobody can really tell you because what we say may not exactly be what God wants to say to you. Amen. So all we can say, look, be ye holy. In other words, let the Holy Ghost rule and reign in your mortal body. And let the Holy Ghost direct you and tell you. And then the testimony will come. You know, there were some things I just felt like I couldn't give up, but I don't have to have them anymore, and I don't even want them anymore. Because God has made something different out of me. I'm not the person I used to be. Things have changed, and I no longer have this desire for these things that I once lived for. And you can recognize it when it's there, and you can also recognize when somebody is just trying to treat the pain and not get rid of the root of the problem. And the problem is, these people who are so holy because of the way they dress. And now look, I don't think that I'm a compromiser. I don't have a lot of things on me that people say you shouldn't have on. I have a haircut. A lot of things that the strictest of the strict say a person filled with the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, they should measure up to these certain standards. Well, I suppose I measure up to all those standards. I can't think of anything else I need to get rid of. Maybe get my glasses off and trust God maybe to please some of them. Or take out my dentures. They don't want anything false. But my fingernails are clean. My sleeves are long. Even my shirt sleeves under my coat are long. My necktie goes all the way down to my belt. Oh, it's red. Yeah, I need to cover it up. You can't please everybody. And not everybody has an understanding of what holiness is all about. But some of the ones who seem to know so much about holiness are the quickest ones to be guilty of what's called clamor. Amen. Loud speaking, forcibly speaking, demanding that you change. Clamor. Clamor. Boisterous about it. And many times those same ones are guilty of the sin of lasciviousness, which is spoken of at least 10 times in the Bible. And you cannot be guilty of that sin and go to heaven. I don't care if you don't wear red or toeless shoes or watch TV. You cannot be guilty of uncontrolled sexual desires and go to heaven. Amen. Or a gossiper or a busybody cannot. And I'm going to tell you, some of the busiest gossipers I've ever met have been people with long dresses and long hair and no makeup. Long time. And I'm not here to fight anybody, but I'm telling you, there is a true holiness, and there's something that's trying to appear to be holiness that's not holy. And it's manifesting itself in the apostolic movement. And so when we get up and we address the issue and we talk that which is true and which is right, people don't understand it, what we're saying, where we're coming from, and our own brothers and sisters don't understand it. And they think sometimes we're compromising simply because we don't see it their way. But I will never bow down to the idea that gossiping is part of holiness. And being a busybody is part of holiness. And a murmurer and a complainer and one who will undermine the pastor and cause problems in the church and division and always going about doing something to get somebody against somebody else. That is unholy. And some of the most holy dressers in the eyes of others are the most guilty ones of manifesting unholy living because of their conversations that are not according to the holiness that's in the Word of God. We're to put off the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. This is something that God creates. True holiness is the result of a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. The new creature has no history. And you may have the result of what happened in history in your life, but you're new. And according to the Word of God, all things are new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things have passed away, and all things are new. So that means that whatever you were, whatever you did, before you were renewed, before you were made new, before you were created by the hand of God anew, whatever was before that is no longer anything you have to account for. You are free from that. No matter how bad it may have been, and no matter what was involved, and no matter how many people know about it, you are free from sin. Free from the way it was. A new creature, holy before God. Acceptable before God. Pure in the eyes of God. And the only thing that will mess that up and corrupt it is to go from that point of being a new creature back into the way it was. Picking up the past and taking up the interest of the former ways and starting to think like you once thought and go to the places where you used to go. And every one of you that have been changed in the heart. And it's easy to say filled with the Holy Ghost, but you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to have a complete heart change and a mind renewing. You can be on your way to being filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's too many people that judge other people because they're not filled yet with the Holy Ghost. But they have been changed and promised the Holy Ghost by Almighty God. And God's promises never fail. And if God said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, then we need to rejoice with anybody that's living toward that promise. And not put any pressure on them to get something that's not real. Let them get the real thing no matter how long it takes. And rejoice with them every step of the way. Because we do not give the Holy Ghost to anybody. We can't force it in them. We can't make them receive it. But there are so many people trying to shake it into people and make it happen so they can brag about the numbers of how many got the Holy Ghost because they were the ones doing the speaking or they were the ones laying on the hands or they were the ones that were there and they want to get some kind of credit or recognition. That's not what this is all about. All glory goes to God. And when God gives us the Holy Spirit, we get that straight from God and nobody else has anything to do with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when God promises the Holy Ghost, He will keep His promise. Meanwhile, between here and there, there are some of us that are in different phases in our relationship with God. And we're on our way to eternal life. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to something that God has prepared. And He has prepared us to be able to have a relationship with Him now. And we're different. We're not what we used to be. And every step we take is a new creature walking with God. Hallelujah. And so if you, whoever you may be, whether present here or somewhere else, are having a problem with the old interest, the old conversations, the old feelings, the old desires, it could be that possibly you need to pray. Because you know what? Prayer is the key. It's the medicine. It's the answer. It's the solution. And it's real hard to pray about something you're starting to desire not to be there. Because the old flesh, once it starts desiring the things that once made us feel good, once made us happy, the longer we cultivate that desire, the more it seems to be acceptable. And we start kind of living with the idea it's okay to think the way we used to think and go where we used to go and be a little bit, maybe not a whole lot of, but a little bit of what we used to be.
And there comes a need in our lives that somebody stand up and preach to us. And teach us. And lead us and guide us. And that's why God has placed in the church the preachers, the teachers, and the people around us for the work of the ministry to help one another, not criticize one another, not belittle one another, not be a stumbling block to one another, but be of service to God on behalf of one another and try to help people to work their way back to God when they stray off the path. So many times people get down and everybody gathers around and beats them down further. I'm not talking about here. I can't think of any particular instance of that happening here. It may have a few times. But in my life, I've seen it many times where somebody gets down and it seems like everybody else wants them down more. When once they were up and everybody was rejoicing because they were up. But when they're down, that's when everybody really needs to be there to help lift them back up. See, the kingdom of God is an encouragement kingdom. It's an enlightenment. It's a helping and helping situation. It's people helping people. And criticism doesn't help. And getting on to people doesn't help. Arguing with people doesn't help. Trying to force people to see it your way doesn't help. But prayer does. And if you can't convince them they need to pray, find some place to go pray yourself for that person. And put it in the hands of God. Now, I don't know why I'm on this subject today. It could be that because I have been listening to many, many ministers speak and teach and preach and hearing testimonies from many people. Some of them are no longer alive in the last few days, and some of the work that I've been doing. But I've heard so many, many misconceptions. And I've heard people in their testimonies down through the years. You know what? A testimony is not preaching. A testimony is getting up here. When it's testimony time, that's your time to come up and tell what the good Lord has done for you. It's not a time to lecture. It's not a time to point at anybody else. This is your time to express your joy. I've been delivered and I thank my God He set me free. There are some ways that I once had in my life that are no longer there. I've been changed. I'm a new creature. I want to give praise to my God. Oh, yesterday was a wonderful day. I had this situation happen and God gave me the ability to overcome. God healed me when I was sick. God brought me up when I was down. He delivered me when I was in bondage, and I have so much to praise Him for. And when you get through praising God in your testimony, it's time to sit down and let somebody else praise the Lord. But all through the years, testimony time is when people let off steam. We've all seen it over and over. I've seen it all my life. I've been guilty of it many times. But it's not the way it should be. I'm going to tell you something. If we come to church praising God, as the Word of God says, enter into this place. What do we call the tabernacle or the sanctuary or the church or the place where we get our food? When we assemble ourselves, we're instructed, it's just as clear as it can be in the Word of God, to enter into this place praising God. To enter in here with thanksgiving and joy. And yet we know it's there, and it's so easy to walk in with the mully grubs. With every thought of the world on our mind, the problems, the divisions, the contentions, the aggravations, the problems at work, the problems in the house, the problems with the bills, the problems with the boss, the problems with the neighbors. Those problems were there when you walked in, and they're going to be there when you walk out. But between the time you walk in and the time you walk out, why don't we let God bless us? There's a whole lot more hope in solving our problems if we will praise our God and get our minds off of those around us and just say, Lord, let me lift up Your name in praise. Let me give you thanks. Let me let you know from my heart I love you. I want to serve you. I want to obey you. I want to be something that you would be happy with. I want to be a child of God, an example of what you'd have me to be for others, for my family. Let me worship you in my singing. Let me worship you in my testimony. Let me praise you and magnify your name and lift up the cause of God before others. And when we do these things, we enter into a channel that's all through the Word of God, where a river flows, healings flow in this river, miracles happen in this river, God blesses and changes lives in this river, things happen, enemies are destroyed, and people's minds are renewed. Hallelujah! Glory, hallelujah! And so many times people stand in the congregation and look around to see what people are wearing. Did you see what she had on? It might be good sometimes for everybody to come to church with blindfolds. When you get here, everybody blindfold yourself. I know we won't ever do that, but it sure would be good if we could. Because it's so easy to be distracted by somebody's hairdo, new dress, new suit, new tie. That person's not smiling. Something's wrong. They're not smiling. They usually shake my hand. They're not shaking hands today. What's wrong with them? Hey, we're coming to church. If anything's wrong with anybody, this is a good place to let them get it worked out with God. Hallelujah. What is our job in the midst of all this? To encourage them. Amen. To praise the Lord. Not to criticize, not to make them feel guilty. Just let them know we care and we love them and we're glad they're here and we have a good church and we can hardly wait to sing and praise and dance and raise our hands and say hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. And lying is not necessarily telling somebody else a false story. Putting away lying means stop lying to yourself too. Quit telling yourself everything's all right when it's not. Amen. It's easy to think, hey, I'm okay, when you really need to get some things ironed out. Because to think I'm okay when I'm not okay is simply deceiving myself. Our thoughts can become wicked. Our own minds can become liars. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. That's the Word of God. It's not talking about this thing down here that beats. Your heart that beats and pumps your blood is not wicked. But your heart, which is the part of you that thinks, reasons, and analyzes, the heart of man, that innermost part of you, the very you yourself, is deceitful. And it's easy to let our minds get to thinking, which is the way we used to do it. If this problem happens, I can always do this over here and solve that. Or I can always cover this up by telling this. And I don't have to lie, I'll just change the words. So they'll believe it another way, so they won't know how it really is, but I'll just change the words. That won't be lying. Don't deceive yourself. Sometimes people lie to themselves trying to figure out ways to cover up things that really need to be just be brought out open before God.
and acknowledged as sin. Hallelujah. If I smile, they'll think everything's okay. What difference does it matter what they think? You know, confessing our faults to one another is not, as some people see it, coming to church and saying, well, I got some confessions I need to make. I've been stealing trucks this week and I told some lies and beat up a couple of people. Now that's not edifying. And it doesn't do anything except stir up more gossip and cause more people to get on the telephone and say, you hear what I heard? Yeah, can you believe it? I never would have thought it. I'm glad I'm not like that. Boy, and I sure would never tell it to the whole church. Now we know how that person is. They'll never get to come to my house again. Hallelujah. But confessing our faults one to another is just be true. If you feel bad, you feel bad. You don't have to cover it up. If something's not right, it's okay to let it be known. I need help. I need prayer. And look, we should be Christian enough, holy enough before God, and new creatures enough. We see our brother and sister in need. We'll be there for them. Going to, you see your brother, your sister in a fault or a need, going to them. Let him which is spiritual restore them. That doesn't mean take them in a back room and say, now what have you been up to? You confess to me what you've done wrong because I'm here to restore you. Now that's not the spirit that we're supposed to help them with. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're not dressing right and you're still smoking those cigarettes. That's what's wrong with you. If you get rid of those problems, you'll be okay. No, you got it all messed up. If we get rid of the problem, the cigarettes will disappear and the dress will come forth as it should be between that person and God. And it's none of your business how that is. That's God's business. Hallelujah. But to help each other, to restore one another, we do our part. We praise our God. We love our God. And we see somebody that's down, needs help. We do all we can to encourage them, lift them up, go to them, shake their hands, let them know we care and we're praying. If there's anything we can do, we're here. Praise God. If that doesn't work, take some more and gather around and say, look, we all love you. If that doesn't work, bring them before the whole church and let's just all praise God and love them, give them some special attention and bake a cake and let them know we really care. Hallelujah. Let him which is spiritual, not holier. There is no such thing as being holier than somebody else. Hallelujah. Nobody can be holier than anybody else. There's nobody more spiritual than somebody else. All these lies that come forth in the Christian movement. Oh, that individual is so spiritual. Well, so are fortune tellers. Hallelujah. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. So just be real. Hallelujah. If you got a problem with anger, okay, you've got a problem with anger. Admit it. Sure. Admit it to yourself. I'm angry. And sin not. The sin would come more in trying to cover it up and hide it. And then exploding on somebody, you know. Let not the sun go down your wrath. Get it out. If you have to, use testimony time. It's all right. We'll get over it. I'm so bad. I'm so angry. Ain't nothing going right. Of course, you're supposed to be praising God, but we can bear with you till you get past it. That's better than covering it all up and going home, putting your head down and drying up and not coming back to church.
I'd rather you get angry in the pulpit and not testify and get on to everybody and come back on Sunday night and praise God than to go home pouting and not come back. Because if there's any place we can get restored, it's right here with these loving people of God. As we praise our Lord and we love our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, if you know you're angry and you're still mad and you can't get over it, you can't get past it, and it's really bothering you, then do whatever it takes to get it straightened out. Amen. I'll tell you one way to do it. Pray. It's like aspirin. I don't know what's wrong. Take an aspirin. I heard all over. Try Bayer. It's a headache. What's causing it? I don't know. Well, here's some aspirins. This should help. Or Tylenol. My stomach hurts. Take an aspirin. Tylenol. Buffering. My toe hurts. Here, have an aspirin. Amen. What we need is somebody that can fix the toe. It knows how. And the only one that does know how is God. Or the stomach problem, or the disorder, or the nerve problem, or the headache, whatever. The heart problem, the condition, the lack of sensitivity. God knows the answers. And we can try to fix it, say, you need to dress right, you need to go here, you need to go there, you need to do this, you need to stop doing that. That's just like giving somebody an aspirin when they've got cancer. What we need to do is find somebody that can take the problem out. And you know how to do it? In prayer. Praying always. That's what this is all about. God gave us the answer to solve our problems. Talk to God about it. Pray to God about it. Live unto God concerning it. Let our communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. And anything beyond that, trying to fix things, work things out, or make things right with anybody is way too much. God wants us just to come to Him. If we have a need, ask and seek and knock and believe. Hallelujah. All right. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't give place to the devil. See, we read these and it's easy to think, well, I don't steal. But do you not steal? Amen. A lot of ways we can steal. We can steal even from ourselves. By lying to ourselves, we can steal our what would be joy and replace that with sadness and gloom and agony and despair. Simply because our thinking is like it once was. I've seen so many people in my life get all excited about God, come to the church seeking God, dance, have tears when they were seeking God, get up in the pulpit, claim the victory, and have that glow on their face and just jump and leap and praise God. You would think, oh, we've been like in heaven tonight. And everybody's happy and hugging one another's neck. And a few days later, they're in a bar room. Drinking, smoking, cussing. Living like the devil. And my observation and my Christian experience through the years has been, when they do that, What a bum. That's what people talk. That no good louse. Had us all excited. Now look at him. It's not about getting us excited. God's not concerned that we get excited or don't get excited about somebody's success and failure. But God is concerned about every soul. And He calls us to reach for them. And to love them. And to be an example for them. Not in just words we say, but in our lives. Praise God. People notice it. And see, we have the people who are just ready to get started. And they don't know what we know. That doesn't mean we're holier than anybody. It just means they don't know what we know. They haven't been sitting in the church at Norwich for 16, 18, 20 years, hearing these messages over and over and watching the things happen before our eyes and seeing people come and go and knowing what it takes to endure. They haven't seen all this. All they know is they've had a rough time in life and now they want something better. And so when they come in the door, they may not show up for 5 years, but when they do come, it may be the result of having watched you from a distance for years. Maybe on TV or on the internet, and they've been observing, seeing our best, because we try to put our best before them. We don't show them the things that sometimes we have to work on to try to clean out and try to make better. We try to edit as much as we can of the stuff that is not going to help anybody to know. You know, somebody got on somebody's nerves. There's no reason to broadcast that all over the world. Amen. Not that that's happened, but I'm just using that as an example. But what we try to show is our good testimonies. Oh, I love this church. I love you people. We love one another. We have unity. We praise our God. It's so good to be assembled together. It's good to be in Norwich. I love this church. I can hardly wait to get to church. And they hear this for 4 or 5 years. And finally, they make that decision to come. And they show up right on time because they know our names. They know our church schedule. They know where we are. And they've known it for years. And they walk in the door. And all those examples of righteousness and holiness are so happy about this church and love it so much are not here yet. And so here they sit alone. And they wait. And a few of them come in, but the ones they've been seeing are gone. They've been on vacation for 2 or 3 weeks. I thought they loved this church. I'm not criticizing anybody that goes on vacation. I'm not criticizing anybody that has problem once in a while with traffic or whatever and getting here. But what I'm saying is from their perspective, they long so much for this to be what they saw. They long so much for this to be what they're expecting it to be. And we wonder why they came and they left so quick. Well, they've been lied to all their life. Why go to church and get lied to? Because we say one thing on TV and on the internet, but we're doing something else. I love church so much, I can hardly wait to get here. I love my church. Oh, I love this church. You should come here too. They show up and we're not here. Kids Praise Club. 5 new kids show up. Where's everybody? Now, it's not happening right now. See, I like to talk about this stuff when it's not happening. We're doing good. Got a few people on vacation. They're already sick of being there. They want to be back. They'll be back soon. Maybe next time they won't schedule themselves away so long. Nobody wants you to move in on them for 2 or 3 weeks. I know I certainly don't. Come and see me. Stay 3 days. Not 3 weeks. Because it's hard to let the sun go down on your wrath when that happens. But these people coming, what do they need to see? Beginning of service, what do they need to see? They need to see somebody loving God enough to praise Him. Praising God. Somebody needs to be here that's not just now trying to get some kind of kindling worked up or some kind of a, you know, work up something to cause them to feel like praising God. Somebody needs to walk in these doors rejoicing and happy in the Lord. And when somebody else walks in, they need to be able to observe that, hey, these people are real. These people really are happy. These people really do love God. They're not interested in what you wear, and you shouldn't be interested in what they wear. We should just praise our God. And love them. And the rest of it will take care of itself. But we're stealing from them. We may not steal cars, we may not steal toys, we may not steal money. But there's nothing worse than stealing somebody's potential. although we may not intend to. We mean well. We're doing what we can. We feel that we're doing our best, but sometimes we could do better. But for that person who doesn't know, that's discovering for the first time, how would you like it if you suddenly had enough money to go buy a new car, and you've been wanting that car for years, and these people have been advertising it over and over on radio and TV and in the newspapers, and they've made you just so, oh, you got to have that car. And you've longed for it, and you've been saving up for years to get that automobile, and now you've got the money, got the cash in your hand, and you show up at the time they say they'll be open. Buy the car. You've got the cash. You're ready. And the doors are locked. And you wait 15 minutes, the doors are still locked. Finally, the salesman comes up, and he's tired, and his hair's messed up, and he says, "How do you want? What are you here for?" "I just got out of bed. I'm sick. I don't feel good. I got a headache." You know what you would do? You'd probably take your money and go somewhere else. I know I would. But if I had the money in my pocket to go buy that new automobile, and when I arrive there, if I see somebody there that's happy, "Well, welcome. Come on in. We've probably got what you're looking for. Sit down. Let's have a cup of coffee." You know what I'd say? "Hey, I got some money. I want that car." And we'd have a deal. And that's the same way in church work. When we advertise and advertise and we praise God before them, we need to be praising God when they walk in the door, not 15 minutes later when we walk in the door. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's getting wind-up time toward the end of my message when my mama tells me to be nice. Neither give place to the devil. Some people look at that and that means somebody, you know. "Oh, that person shouldn't be here. That's a devil." No, it doesn't mean that. Don't give place to the devil. It just means, let me say it like this. The devil may not even know we exist. He's a real, real entity. He has an existence. He's something that God created or allowed to become something after He created. But words like "don't give place to the devil" can be so easily misunderstood. Let me show you how to give place to the devil. Testimony time. All right, I want to testify. I've had such a fight with the devil this week. That devil's been on me. I'm telling them devils, they're just everywhere. I've been dealing with devils, and devils have been just driving me nuts. I want y'all to pray for me that I get these devils off my back. You know, and the devil may not even know that. They may even be off somewhere else, not even know this is going on. But I'm going to tell you something. We start that kind of stuff, some of them are going to start showing up. That's an open invitation. Devils, come on over. Giving place to the devil is simply just talking about him. Acknowledging he's causing me problems. Look, for the child of God, we have power over every evil thought, every evil way, every evil influence, and the devil cannot break through to us. So if we're having a problem, we don't need to give place to the devil. Just admit it's in my thinking process. It's in my old habits, my old nature, my old lust, my old desires. Devil has nothing to do with it. It's me. I'm the one standing in need of prayer. I don't need to say the devil's causing stuff. It's my God that's wanting to know, when am I going to wake up and praise Him and love Him and call on Him and acknowledge Him in all my ways? Don't give place to the devil. Make place for Jesus. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Make room for Jesus. Amen. Let him that stole steal no more. Do not steal. somebody else's opportunity to be able to enjoy what you are now enjoying. Just think about if it had been you been waiting all these years. You haven't been sitting here all these years. When you finally show up, wouldn't it be nice to have a congregation here being before their eyes what they thought they were seeing? Rather than have them go away disappointed and we really are what they're looking for, but they don't know it. Why? Because something we said or did or some action or some lack of activity caused them to have a misconception and we stole their dream. We have a lot of responsibility when we're children of God. It's not just the preacher. The saints are called to do the work of the ministry. That's not necessarily preaching. In fact, it has very little to do with preaching. The work of the ministry is visiting the sick, encouraging others, making a couple of phone calls, letting people know we're missing you in church, going out of your way to make sure that they know that you're thinking about them. I called a guy three or four days ago, I haven't talked to in a long time, several months. Most of you, when I say this, will know who I'm talking about. He owns some radio stations. He's a millionaire. We've known him for several years. And one of the persons here in church figured out a way to get me his cell phone number not long ago. And I had it, and he didn't know how I got it. And I didn't tell him, because he only gives that out to certain people. And I wasn't on his list. But I called him. And I said, "Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thinking about you." And I said, "I care about you. Just want to let you know." And I hung up. I was sad. It doesn't take much to touch the heart of people, you know. That phone call resulted in a call back that night. Because when I said that, I was talking to his answering machine. They called me that night. "Wren," and this is what he said, "I'm sitting here with my girlfriend and we're talking about God. And I'm telling her about you and your church." And he said, "Down deep in my heart, through the years, I have a deep admiration for you people. And you're sticking to it, what you really believe to be right." And he said, "Deep in my heart, I expect someday to make a change." Now that all came about as a result of saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you." He said, "In fact, we might want to come by and see you tonight." And his girlfriend was sick and he's thinking about marrying. And he told me last time I talked to him that he met her in a place where Christians probably shouldn't be. But that she is a backslidden, what she calls herself, a backslidden Pentecostal. Amen. The one he wants to marry. And she told him, he said to me, "I want to go back to serving God." Yes. And he said, "And I love this woman. I'm thinking about making her my wife. But if she serves God," he said, "doesn't that mean I'll need to serve God too?" And I said, "Well, you're going to need to serve God whether she does or not." He said, "But isn't it kind of strange that after all these years, I'm being brought back to the very one that told me all this stuff over and over, and now the one I'm falling in love with is saying the same thing you said on my radio stations over and over. And although she's not living it, she's saying it right, just like you said it." He said, "Wouldn't it be something if my desire to have a wife that I've fallen in love with would bring me into a situation of answering the prayers that you prayed for me?" I said, "God can do it that way." And then he said, "Don't be surprised if on one of your service nights you see us sitting in the congregation. I want you to be aware of this so that you can show up praising God, expecting it to happen at any moment. And I want to tell you, when they show up, I would like for them to come expecting something, and for that something they expect to be here. We don't have to put on any kind of front, no kind of artificial ways, just because he's a millionaire, just because they may not be dressed like an apostolic. They're coming when they come expecting us to be what we are. People that raise our hands and praise our God and talk about the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They don't need to hear us get up and say, oh, the devil's been so mean to me and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm thinking about giving up. Let him that stole steal no more. Please don't steal this potential for these people. When they walk in the door, let them get what they're looking for. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace and to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, everybody say, let all bitterness. The church is no place to let your bitterness out. Get rid of it before you come here. Come here praising God because it's gone. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and trying to make everybody do right, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. This is holiness. And tender-hearted, this is holiness. Forgiving one another, this is holiness. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let us stand. Let us praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Let us praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I love you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be and do our part. Praise your name. Praise your name, praise your name. And as I said at the outset of today's message, what you wear, what you do to your hair, none of that has anything to do in making you or anybody else holy. But the things we talked about today, amen, praying and praising God and being faithful, and being loving and kind and gentle toward others and forgiving. That's holiness. And that's a standard we need to try to live up to. When we get that worked out, there is no problem with TV, movie picture shows, or dress or hair. God has that all in His hand. And it's under control. God bless you, Brother Joe.
Amen. Oh yes. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.